You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
We've made some changes to it specifically for the Matthews bows, but like one of your arrows or two of your arrows sometimes will make contact with the body of the rest. So again, we slimmed it up a little bit. We got rid of this knob because the low pro quiver pivots out,
right?
And so when you try to remove it, an arrow hits that knob,
right? You have to like go out and around it.
Mm-hmm. So they've been out for a while, so they've been so popular and they've been back ordered that we haven't really been marketing it and pushing it and putting a lot of information out there because we didn't want to create more back orders, you know. Yeah. So it's just kind of selling itself,
right?
And so now that we're getting caught up, we just launched a video about it. And so a lot of people are like, oh, is this even newer than the one you launched in October? And no, it's the same one. This older model with the knob that sticks out, it'll work on virtually any other bow on the market.
Welcome to the Range Podcast. I'm Ricky Brewley, and with me is Jake Hollywood Iverson. Join us at the Archery Range, where we'll tell stories from the hunt, discuss technical bow shooting tactics and gear, and pick the brains of some of the most successful people to ever shoot a bow. Whether you're about to shoot that X for the win or send an arrow at a trophy buck, this podcast is for you. Range Podcast is brought to you by Vapor Trail Archery, makers of the best bowstrings money can buy, originators of limb-driven arrow rest technology, and innovators of stokerized stabilizer systems.
Welcome to the Range, everybody. I'm your host, Ricky Brewley, and I'm here with, as always, my sidekick, Hollywood.
I'm here.
He's here.
I do still exist around here, believe it or not.
Somehow managed to pull him away for about a half hour, but this is going to be a really quick shiny objects episode. Shiny objects is it can be anything that is a current obsession. So it doesn't necessarily have to be an object. It can be an upcoming hunt, can be a song, a book, whatever it might be. You know, something cool.
I never have anything cool to talk about.
Just kidding. If you missed out on last week's episode, we had a very controversial discussion, or at least one that's controversial in this state currently, or in the last year, was the crossbows. You know, are crossbows considered archery? So if you missed that episode, make sure you head back over there and check that out. Of course, you can find us at the Range Podcast on Instagram and on Facebook, as well as check us out on the Vapor Trail YouTube channel and give us a like, subscribe, and hit that bell so you can be up to date on all things archery.
That's right.
Yeah. So, well, I'm going to let you go first, man. Ooh, what is your current shiny object, Hollywood?
There's a lot going on around here and at home. It's tax season. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not talking taxes here, but
that's shiny.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe if you're getting something back, right?
Right. I think right now, been kind of a buzz around the shop, Western hunting.
Mm-hmm.
'Tis the season for more Western applications. Obviously, like Idaho, that one's dead and gone. Been gone for a while, but
I don't even want to try. I don't even want to put myself through that misery.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say that. You know, it's a shiny object because that's where I'm throwing my money right now. That's what I'm focusing on is deadlines and open dates to apply to different states out west. But I'm basically thinking this year's gonna be a knee for me. So I don't think I have very low hopes after. Most of those states have released how many tags they're going to give out to non-res hunters, and sounds like this year is going to be a pretty bad year for non-resident people. So basically accepting fate of this fall being just Minnesota, my favorite. Might sneak a little east to our neighbors. Ooh. And try that.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin doesn't sound like it's too bad as far as getting into yet, but a lot of the Western states, just putting in points. So,
And if you haven't purchased a deer license in Wisconsin yet, you get a half price, right?
Correct. So let's get everyone into Wisconsin.
That was something that I learned because I thought it was just like your first license. Yeah. And so I was like, man, wow, I burned mine on a turkey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did also a few years later. Hunt deer in Wisconsin, and I don't remember if I got half price or not. I can't remember, but
I've never purchased a license for Wisconsin. I have gone there and watched hunting, but it's more or less like getting the foot in the door sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And this year, maybe I'll actually go and do it. That could be for turkeys too. With the connection I have there, they don't care for hunting turkeys at all anymore because it's too easy. So sounds like a good spot to go.
Too easy.
Yeah. He's got a lot of long beards. So maybe for birds, that's coming up as well. But deer this fall is looking like Wisconsin and Minnesota. Maybe I'll throw in a random trip somewhere, but right now I think I'm just going to do points and just keep allocating points as we go. I don't know. I think that's the best way to go about it, considering it. I think some states are going to increase their point requirements. So I'm like, well, sucks not hunting this year, but I'll just keep racking them up so that I can go wherever I want in a couple of years. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's kind of my big thing right now, spend money on points.
Yeah, when I was talking with Josh Wells in the previous two episodes, he was, because he did a lot of Western hunting, he had some really good success, got 10 animals, I think, in like six different states. But he was just like, he said the numbers, it's kind of eerie. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just not seeing the numbers of animals, especially deer and antelope.
Yeah.
He pointed out. And so that's pretty alarming. And so to your point, on top of that, you know, I think that's the reason why we're probably seeing these huge reductions in allotted tags for non-residents.
Yeah.
We were diving into, because usually about this time you can apply for North Dakota. Mm-hmm. And is it different that now? Because now it's April 15th that you apply.
It's never been that late.
So they pushed it back. And so I don't know if that's, they need to do some more studies or need to figure something out.
That's my belief.
Yeah, but as of now, I think it's like a little over 300 non-resident any deer tags that are going to be available.
Right.
And, man, we dove into the numbers pretty hard, and it looks like, I mean, even last year, somebody who had 3 points had a less chance of drawing than somebody that had 2, with the kind of the way that it the way that it worked out, you know. And which is kind of surprising, because I didn't realize that they had multipliers. That's another thing that we figured out. So the every year that you gain a point, then you also get a multiplier. And so, man, anybody who didn't draw last year on 3 points, wow.
Yeah, I know.
Unlucky.
Yeah. Jeez. That's usually about my luck, but I'm down there a ways. So
what was it? So the other thing that we noticed too now is, because of that, there's usually like, was there maybe like 5 or 6 applicants on average in the last, you know, since like 2021 that had 3 points, and it was like 100% draw success rate. And then last year it was 66%. And then, so now out of the people that didn't draw for, with 3 points, and the people that had 2 points, there's going to be like 30 some.
It's going to be ridiculous this year.
Assuming everybody applies again.
Yep.
That would put it at, including myself, is going to put it at like 30 some applicants.
It's going to be wild.
And if it's a 66% chance, that's like, man, I might be going to year 4 here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. I'm hopeful. Fingers are crossed.
I think what we're seeing is a big representative of the 22 to 23 winter, because it was so rough, even in Minnesota, that there are so many winter kills.
Yep.
And the one state I went and hunted last year, you know, to Josh's point, the animals, I mean, I've basically told you, I've told other people, I will never go back, at least for a couple of years, because I would have felt bad even shooting a doe, because it was just, the numbers were just like, I mean, the two of us hunters were about the same amount of deer that were out there. I'm like, what is this? Never have seen that. And sure, it could have been the area, but even then, other areas were not that lush in animals. And I think now, in my mind, I'm already, even last year after we had heard about all the winter kill, I'm like thinking, okay, I'm just going to plan for a couple of years out, just because we basically are going to have to allot the time for them to regenerate, you know.
Yep.
Because again, a lot of those states saw high winter kills, so I think we're gonna be on a waiting game for Mother Nature to do their thing. So
yeah,
that's my plan anyway. I'm playing long ball. I'm just putting in for those tags. That'll probably take a while, including sheep and maybe goat. We'll see, but sheep is the big one for me. So,
and then did you put in for points in Colorado?
Yes, I already.
Is it too late? Is that over?
No, I think you still have. Bighorn, you might be close on time, but I think you still have time for deer and then elk. And there's rumors that elk might be going to points soon. So,
heard that, yeah.
Don't know if that's true or not. But
no more OTC is what you're saying.
Yeah. So yeah. That's again why I'm just playing the long ball here. Stack up some extra money, then I can go have all the fun. But mm-hmm. I also want to do it right where I get a bunch of scouting under my belt, so it's not a guessing game. But yeah, Bighorn after year three, and I'm almost there. Then I have to actually like start applying to different places, so it'll get interesting. But I think we might have mentioned it last year, Colorado, what a disaster trying to apply on their website. Montana's can be confusing, but I don't know, every state is so different mm-hmm. on how their system works. But yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now, is just spending money on points. And that's turkey awesome. Season coming up. It's super tempting with no snow right now, although we're about to get dumped on. But I'm just like, even yesterday we had a Jake turkey standing at the front door.
Pecking at the front door. Yeah.
Like, oh man, it's so close. So close.
All the animals got to be just completely thrown off and out of whack right now. Like, I'm just seeing all the geese mm-hmm. everywhere. And then now the temperatures dropped pretty significantly. Now we're supposed to get just slammed with snow.
Yeah.
Just bitch slapped.
Upwards of 40 inches this weekend. Yeah. So. Well, we'll or see. Into next week. Yeah.
I haven't been very good about predicting that so far this year. But, I mean, other than the fact that they didn't predict we weren't going to get a lot of precipitation, which we didn't, but there was a few storms we were supposed to get that didn't show up.
Right.
Me and my wife have a bet right now too, because we were talking about this yesterday, but it seems like we always get a blizzard in either March or April, no matter what.
It's just, every year.
It just never fails. And I was like, well, you know, we're going to get that blizzard, so you may as well just be prepared for more snow to come. It's going to happen. And she's like, no, it's not going to happen. So we made a bet. And if we get a blizzard, then she has to do all the shoveling.
Oh, no. That's a pretty wild bet for how much we're about to get.
Yep. And if we don't, then I have to give her a 55-minute back massage, which
I'd say that's fair. That's
a win-win, right? I would do it anyways.
Yeah, so, I was going to say.
Joke's on her.
Personally speaking, the guy is usually doing the massage for a while. Katie will get on me and just be like, there.
Is that it?
That's all you got? That's okay.
Are you even doing anything?
Yeah. Mosquito bite in my back.
She looks pretty strong, though.
She could beat me up. So what's your shiny object for it?
I don't like it. I got a couple right now, and this might maybe have a little bit more to do with the ADHD that both me and my daughter have, but she's been really, since the weather's been nice, she's been really excited about going to this little skate park.
We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, Ricky Brule here, Vapor Trail. We're really excited about some new features that we've just added to the Gen Integrate X Limb Driver Aero Ref. The previous model that we had the micro adjust knob that stuck out, and so it made it difficult to remove these one piece low pro quiver from Matthews. We've eliminated that knob and now it's an Allen key that you would use to make that adjustment. We thinned up the area here where the activation cord is as well. We really squeezed it in about a quarter of an inch. It's a little bit lower profile, so now you don't have any issues with the low profile quiver. Comes off nice and easy. And you also have, of course, the added feature of the integrated mounting system, so you can mount the aero rest right to the rail on the riser of the bow.
Additional features include new markings that differentiate your locking screws from your windage and elevation screws. All VaporTrail aero rests have a free-floating head, providing more forgiveness and greater downrange accuracy. No need for a bow press. Simply tie the activation cord to the limb and say goodbye to interference with cam timing caused by cable-driven aero rests. The new and improved GI8X is available and ready to ship. Trust the originators of limb-driven technology and head over to our website at vaportrailarchery.com or stop into your local archery pro shop to get yours today.
over by the old shop, actually.
Yeah.
And so it's like just got a little, you know, center ramp, and it's got a quarter pipe on one side and then a ramp on the other. And she's got her little Strider bike that she likes to take up and down the thing. And it's really helped her gain balance and everything. So then while she's doing that, then I broke out the old skateboard again.
Nice.
And started taking that out for a rip.
You're so, telling me you're the new Tony Hawk.
Yep. That's right.
Wow.
And I've been ripping Rick's around the shop in it and stuff.
Rick's breaking it out. How about that? Being young again.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been fun. I was humbled and slammed my elbow and hip the other day. Just went down like a ton of bricks, man.
I was just going to ask, how was it getting back on?
I used to be very graceful, you know, like I could just roll out of something and then get right back up and keep going. And I was like, it was like that Family Guy thing, you know, where I was like, hurt my shin or whatever. It was, it did not feel good.
How'd it feel the next day?
That's the real question. It still hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It still hurts. And I'm sore too, just because it's crazy how much of a workout it is.
Right.
I completely forgot about that. Even if you're just hitting the ramps and you're just pumping, you're not actually having to push. Maybe it might have something to do with me being pretty sedentary lately and not doing a whole lot, but
working the muscles again.
I also have a pretty big hike coming up here soon. Rick Hansen and I are going to do Seven Peaks on June 1st.
Okay. I was just going to say, when is that?
So, and the reason we're doing it June 1st is because we're going to do Crazy Horse. We're going to hike Crazy Horse, and you can only do that one day out of the year. It's called the Volksmarch.
Gotcha.
And so it's, I think, a total of like 44, 45 miles, something like that, over 8,000 vertical feet. We're going to do it in 24 hours. So
You should hit the skateboard a lot more.
Right? I know.
Your legs better be ready for that.
Yeah. It's funny when Rick is like, you don't even know. Like, he's like, you better start getting at it. Because he's like, even when he did the Six Peaks last year, there was a lot of people, he said, that last hill they climbed, like, on the way back, everybody was just head down and just moving. Nobody was talking. Yeah. It was just get this over with, you know. And then I think about Sam doing the 100-mile mm-hmm. walk, you know, and how he was saying his feet were just destroyed. And so I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
So is this a weighted, like, ruck march sort of thing? Or is it just water bag maybe on your back?
And yeah, probably going? Just water bladder. And we're going to try to – we got pretty excited about it in the beginning, and then it's kind of been put on the back burner a little bit because we do have a little bit of time, but mm-hmm. We're kind of trying to make something, we want to do something big with it. And so we're trying to find a nonprofit organization that we can support, you know, cause it's like, well, why? Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah,
you know, and for the most part, for Rick, it's just, it's about challenging himself, you know, and now we've got we've started our own podcast called Don't Die Rusty. And so that whole situation is, we're just kind of piggybacking off what he did last year. And again, a lot of what we do is about just challenging yourself, trying to do new things, get off the couch, move around, that kind of stuff. So, mm-hmm. So taking it up a notch. And he even said one of the most difficult parts is just the logistics of getting from one hike to the other. Cause we start in Wyoming and then you get in the car, then you got to drive to the next spot, and then you got to drive to the next spot.
So you're at least getting a little rest in there.
Yeah. But it is kind of goofy too. Like I don't know how, I haven't done a hike of this. You know, I think 9 days when I was in Idaho, I think we did a total of 100 miles in the mountains. But again, there was a lot of rest in between. It was just kind of a different situation, than what we're going to be dealing with this time. We're going to be trying to do, you know, half of that in one day.
Yeah. That's pretty wild.
And then, not only that, but we also, so again, with the idea that we want to try to support a nonprofit organization, we're also going to try to get a film crew to come with us. We're trying to figure out the logistics of that because we can't, like, let's say we got a camera guy and we got a videographer, like, it's going to be tough for them to be with us the whole time. Right. So we're trying to get like four guys. So they can kind of relay, you know, so you
right.
have two guys that will go up one peak, come back down, then they'll, you know, relay and the next two guys will go up.
Yeah. I was going to say, imagine carrying the camera gear. And
so, yeah. So we're trying to figure that out if we can make that work. And it may be, it's a time crunch now. So it may be something that we have to do the following year or something like that. But so there's that, that's another shiny object I got. And then the third one here is my new rig. Went back to prime from the PSE Mach 34 that I had. I love that bow, and you know, but we just now we're kind of, because we're a prime dealer, and you know, we have a pretty close relationship with those guys over there, and I really like the new setup. I love the new cam system, and this bow is it's shooting really, really well right now. I'm absolutely loving it. So yeah, so we've got the this is the prime RVX 36, and I just transferred my HHA Optimizer Light Kingpin.
You do have a Kingpin.
Yeah,
it is the Kingpin.
Yep. So I'm still a little old school on that. But gosh, it still works awesome, so I don't really see the need to change Prime's new quiver that that they're working with in collaboration with Tight Spot. Mm-hmm. Just mounts on the bow perfectly right behind the GI8X that I have on here, and this is actually last year's model of the GI8X.
Oh, yeah,
so
it is.
But this one will work with, it just won't work with Matthews that has low pro quiver accessories.
With the old knob.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's got the old knob that sticks out, but
the new one, which is what we're running 24/7 now.
Yep.
Will fit Matthews.
Yep. And that rest has been out since like in the fall.
Yeah. Was that October?
Last fall. And so they've been out for a while. So, but now they've been so popular and they've been back ordered that we haven't really been marketing it and pushing it and putting a lot of information out there because we didn't want to create more back orders, you know? Yeah. So it's just kind of selling itself.
Right.
And so now that we're getting caught up, we just launched a video about it. And so a lot of people are like, oh, is this even newer than the one you launched in October? And no, it's the same one. It's just, you know, again, we slimmed it up a little bit. We got rid of this knob because the low pro quiver pivots out.
Right.
And so when you try to remove it, an arrow hits that knob.
Right. You have to like go out and around it. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. And then like one of your arrows or two of your arrows sometimes will make contact with the body of the rest. So,
yeah.
You know, so we made some changes to it specifically for the Matthews bows, but this older model with the knob that sticks out, it'll work on virtually any other bow on the market. And then also, but you know, so we get some people that are, they want this knob.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I did kind of miss it when it went away because,
mm-hmm.
you know, just the ease of just grabbing it right there with your finger. But mm-hmm. I'm fine with also having an Allen wrench, I guess.
Yeah.
Know, if it makes it slimmer, sure.
I'm just, you know, once it's set, that's pretty much it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, you know, from the end user standpoint, there's not a huge advantage to it, but for the dealer or for a guy who likes to tinker and stuff like that, it's micro adjust is really, really nice, especially with elevation adjustment, because when you have this cord attached and you loosen your lock screw, your rest just goes zip.
Yeah.
So having the micro adjust there holds it in place for you when you loosen that lock screw, and then you can make your adjustment.
Right.
Although it is a good idea to still loosen up that cord.
I still do. Yeah. Especially when you're like bare shaft tuning, you don't know if you like actually got it to move just enough,
right.
or even cracking that set screw loose might have moved it just enough,
right?
Already,
yes. So this is a prototype. This is the SS1 Aluma with the topo pattern on it, and we haven't started selling these yet. We're still playing with them and trying to make sure that they get worked out and everything. And then I don't know. Right here underneath my hand is going to be our new QDX, which is coming very soon.
Mm-hmm.
But still, we're probably looking at summer.
Yeah.
Right now.
At this point, we can basically say it's a machinist thing.
As yep.
always.
We have now solved our issues, and we are going to be writing a PO soon. We've already got our marketing plan in place, and
yep.
and our product launch dates are set. And so for those of you who are interested, just stay tuned and for some more information regarding that. So, yeah, this is my new rig. Loving it. Didn't shoot it so well at the Jared Fondy shoot. If anybody wants to go check out the post that we put up for the Vapor Trail Pro Shop page, I'm pretty much dead last.
But you had a mishap, right? Like you shot the wrong target or something?
No, I didn't shoot the wrong target, but I choked and completely shot a zero.
So, nice. Yeah.
So that didn't help, but all that, if I would have hit, all that would have done is pop me up into the second to last place. So anyways, but it's okay. It's all good. I just wanted to shoot it just to, you know, I felt like it'd be a good day to donate some money to Grant Solutioner. So
yeah, that's all I did. Why not? Have you shot that for 3D yet? Are you even saving it for that? Oh, you have. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep. Shot it a couple times with Glenn.
Okay.
Already but I wasn't like sighted in completely. You know, I wasn't getting a perfect tear. But I'm just like, my point of impact was good enough where I know I'm not going to lose arrows or bust arrows. So just trying to get some reps through it and get my strength back up. And then I've shot it out at Rapids like 3 or 4 times now.
Gotcha.
So gotten it out there, walked the course a little bit. And, you know, again, just really just kind of trying to get back and get the strength back up.
Yeah.
Because it is a 70-pound bow. And last year I was shooting 60. So going back to 70.
You still running the same arrows?
Yes, same arrows, what injection, like? 330 spine.
The injections, yeah. They're almost as old as me, but
I'm just kidding. I'm going to have to make a change at this point.
Many of them, though.
Yeah, the biggest thing that I'm really getting tired of is I'm using Fireknock outserts, and I keep losing those things in targets, and I've tried all kinds of different glue, and Fireknock makes an epoxy that you're supposed to use, and I do use it, but it has a shelf life, and the stuff I have is probably pretty old, and, you know, so it's kind of on me, you know, but basically with the way that I work, it's just not really conducive to what I'm doing, so I might just have to.
We're archers. Why would we ever follow, actual directions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's like, I don't know, there's this new company that I guess Levi Morgan is shooting their arrows, and so I'm thinking I'll probably just do that. I don't know what the name of the company's called. I don't know if they're any good. I just know that Levi shoots them, so I'm going to shoot them.
Gotcha. That's usually what I do. Mm-hmm. If I see like a YouTube video that says something doesn't work, or if I see a YouTube video that, you know, like this guy's shooting it, that's all I do. That's all I want. Yeah.
So that's it. I mean, that's pretty much what I got going on for that. I mean, we had some pretty exciting things going on this week again with the GI-8X arrow rest, Podium Archer, aka MFJJ, on YouTube, did a review of our rest, and it was a fantastic review. He had a lot of good things to say about it. There was a lot of great comments coming from people, you know, saying that they love the rest. So it was really good to see that support.
Yeah.
From the community. There was only a couple of people that were like, they're junk, you know. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
And so hopefully he'll bring them in. You know, there was one little thing that, and again, this is why I was really stressing the low profile quiver, is that he had said in the video that the low profile quiver will not fit in conjunction. Well, you can put it on, but you have to take out 2 arrows, and that is not the case. So I'm not sure what was going on there with, I don't know what quiver. I couldn't tell what quiver he was trying to install. Maybe it was the old Q-Lite, and maybe there is an issue there. I'm not really too sure, but I know that there's Q-Lite spacers that you can get.
Correct.
And so we would not have released this arrow rest without testing it prior. And we know for a fact that there's no interference with any arrows on a Matthews bow, whether it be the Phase 4 or the Lift. Correct. Or you can probably go back to the V3, V3X, all those bows. It will work. You don't have to take an arrow out. If you have the static 2-piece quiver, there are spacers, I believe, that come with that quiver.
Correct.
You just have to use the spacers. You know, we've got a couple people out there that are currently using it, and they say they've got 3/16 of an inch of clearance, which is plenty.
I know. Yeah.
So there's just a lot of confusion right now. People are calling us. They're going, which is it? You guys are saying this. A certain someone is saying that. And so we just wanted to try to clear the air. I also just kind of did a remix of his YouTube video.
Got a Phase 4 right behind us.
And I by no means want to dog on Podium Archer, MFJJ.
Yeah.
I'm super appreciative of him doing the review. It has helped gain a lot of attention surrounding the rest. He couldn't have launched it at a better time, because now we are getting caught up with back orders. Right. We were a little nervous about when that video was going to come out, because again, we don't want to create
an even bigger backlog of what we have.
Exactly. We don't want a lot of people having to wait for product and stuff like that. But it has been unbelievably popular. We've had some issues with some machinists, and now we've got that sorted out, and we're getting parts pretty quickly on a regular basis. And parts, you know, they're just getting made as fast as we can get them out.
Gonna say, like, you know, the machinist came through now, and I think now it's just gonna be, we do all the laser engraving in house, so it's as fast as we can work really now, and hopefully be flush with inventory until June at least. I have a bet with Rory on that one.
We're pretty well caught up on bowstring orders right now. We're just really grinding hard to get ready for the next upcoming season, so that we're trying to streamline our processes. You know, we've identified some issues that we had last year, some things that weren't a problem for us before, but now again, we're growing every year, and we get busier and busier every year. So, you know, we have to adapt and figure things out and make things more efficient for the better. And also, you know, just to ensure that that the quality doesn't go down.
Right.
So that's been going well. We've got a new department manager in the bowstring department.
Yeah.
A very reliable individual. He's a rock star, so that should go good.
Yeah. It's all good stuff over here. Endless projects for Rick and I over here. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All for the good, though.
Yeah. The marketing stuff is going to be pretty fun this year. I've got I've got a team now, which is kind of cool. Yeah, so that's all we got for shiny objects this week, folks. If you want to head over to our Vapor Trail YouTube channel, give us a like, subscribe, and hit that bell so you can be up to date on all things archery. Be sure to head over to our Vapor Trail and Stoker Eyes social media channels, both on Instagram and on Facebook. Yeah, I mean, do you want people to find you, or
you can find my pretty little mustache hanging out at Jake Ivy 3 on Instagram or Jake Hollywood Iverson on Facebook. How about your skateboarding self, Rick? Where can they find you?
You can find all the new tricks that I'm going to be doing on my skateboard. You can look me up on Instagram. It's ricky.wayne80, and on Facebook it's just Ricky W. Brewley. And yeah, man, with that, we are going to
pack up our bows
and hit the range. Have a great day, everybody.
Heck yeah.
Vapor Trail is now offering an exclusive discount to the Range Podcast listeners. Enter promo code TRP15, that's TRP15, at checkout for 15% off VTX bowstrings and Vapor Trail and Stokerized branded t-shirts, hats, and other gear.